Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
This Friday's reflection is inspired by the words of actor, writer, director Mike Myers. At any time, I still expect that the no talent police will come and arrest me.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for checking in with me for this Friday's reflection. I'm super excited, and I am super excited that you're here with me. One of the reasons I'm excited is because I was just recently a guest on another podcast called The Podcast Professors. And on The Podcast Professors, there are four amazing podcasters who have some serious history and experience and knowledge. And not only that, they are so kind and non-judgmental and hilarious and skilled and so willing to help. It was just amazing. I had such a great time there. They're there to help people get started. So check them out if podcasting is on your radar. So that was one thing that made me really happy. Another thing that made me really happy is we are only a few people shy of having 600 members in the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, our private group. This makes me incredibly happy because the more people we get, the cooler it is. And I love it so much. I literally walk around, my heart is happy. I just love knowing that they're there and that I can reach out to my listeners at any time. I can ask questions about what you think about the show. But mostly right now, we post inspirational sayings. We post funny pictures, we joke around with each other, but it's, you know, what's really awesome about it is that people are posting different memes and different peaceful pictures of, let's say, the beach or a pond or a mountain. And it's either pictures of where they are or where they want to be. And it's just really soothing and inspirational. It's just really cool to have other people around you who feel the same way you do about life and are seeing life the same way you do. So it's just about being with like-minded people. It's really, they're like-minded and they're different at the same time. So everybody adds something. And yeah, there's a lot of really quiet people. So if you're one of those people who are listening to the podcast but not speaking out in the group, can you just say hello so I know that you're listening? And I hope you see how truly happy it makes me to have you within arm's reach of me. It just, I can't explain it except to tell you that it just feels good knowing that you're there. And some of the people are friends of mine who I've been friends with forever and all different groups of people. So to see all of those people from all different walks of my life together and talking and communicating and supporting each other, it's just super, super cool. So that being said, today's episode is about exactly what I told you it was going to be about during James 2's episode, which is the imposter syndrome. So here's the thing about the imposter syndrome. The majority of us have it. I shy away from using words like always and never because I was an English teacher. You know, words like all and everyone. But in this instance, I would like to say that I'm pretty sure the vast majority of people have experienced imposter syndrome in some degree or another. So here is where it manifests itself. People use it as an excuse, an energy block. They use it as like a default, a protection. Why though? To prevent themselves from stepping outside of their comfort zone. You know, this is a warm and fuzzy place to be. However, if you allow it to, it's going to stifle you. It's going to stunt your growth. It's going to prevent you from living the most exciting, challenging version of yourself. It's going to prevent you from stretching yourself. So you may not want to take that job promotion or go on that trip. You may not get involved in that relationship or take up something like bodybuilding or karate or ceramics or public speaking. You may not do those things because of the imposter syndrome. Here is where the imposter syndrome stems from. And I needed to bring in some facts for this one. I needed to bring in the big guns, or otherwise you may not have taken this super seriously. There is an actual syndrome referred to as the imposter syndrome. It's also called the imposter phenomenon. There's a reason why people feel this way. There's a reason why people create this for themselves. So I went right to the American Psychological Association to get this information. And the link to this article is in my show notes at www.motivatemepodcast.com. So if you would like to pull the article up, you can do that there. Anyway, here's what the imposter syndrome or the imposter phenomenon is. And I quote from the American Psychological Association, first described by psychologists Suzanne Imes, PhD, and Pauline Rose Clance, PhD, in the 1970s. Imposter phenomenon occurs among high achievers who are unable to internalize and accept their success. They often attribute their accomplishments to luck rather than to ability, and fear that others will eventually unmask them as a fraud. Though the imposter phenomenon isn't an official diagnosis listed in the DSM, psychologists and others acknowledge that it is a very real and specific form of intellectual self-doubt. Imposter feelings are generally accompanied by anxiety and often depression. Wow. Anxiety and depression. Because we feel like imposters. Because we feel like fakes, like frauds, because of our limiting beliefs. Here's what it's caused by. The imposter syndrome is most commonly caused by the pressure to achieve or by perfectionism. It's more prevalent in any person who feels they don't fit into a specific group. So you can consider things like race, gender, age, socioeconomic class. And here's my final quote from the American Psychological Association. Many people who feel like imposters grew up in families that placed a big emphasis on achievement. In particular, parents who send mixed messages. Alternating between overpraise and criticism can increase the risk of future fraudulent feelings. Societal pressures only add to the problem. So what can you do about it? Well, this is what they recommend. Talk to your mentors. Recognize your expertise. Remember what you do well. Realize no one is perfect. Change your thinking. Talk to someone who can help. You know, I really want to include here that the definition I've learned through my coaching schooling about perfection. Perfection is unique unto itself. Unique unto itself. I love that definition for perfection so much. Why? Because there are no boundaries. You are a perfect person just the way you are. You were meant to be the person you are, the person you currently are. You will always be perfect. So get that in your head. You're perfect. Go home and tell everybody. Okay, so since I'm pretty sure that we can say that the imposter syndrome has been felt by the vast majority of people, I would like to take that concept and that idea and use it to analyze this week's guests. So our first guest this week on Monday, we had Amy Sestito. Now, Amy had already lived a life that was not aligned with her person. So I want to start this discussion off with, look what happens when you refuse to live the imposter life. Amy discusses her love for fresh cooking ingredients, but she also talks about how her goal is not to be pretentious about it, but instead to use these ingredients to be practical and smart about it. She talks about making a bolognese sauce in Italy with her ex-husband's aunt, who didn't even speak English and was in her 80s. And she talks about how they made this bolognese sauce and they used it for pasta on day one and risotto on day two and rice balls on day three. And she talks about picking up these fresh vegetables and throwing them in omelets or quiche or over pasta with some oil and garlic. Now for Amy, this has been a journey back to her true self, one that was never modeled for her. So when it comes to the imposter syndrome, she's not using this passion for cooking to put on airs. She's really using it to get in touch with who she always wanted to be. Because as she says in the show, there was not a lot of cooking going on in her home, even growing up. Okay, so the next guest was James Two, and he was James Two on Tuesday. James is so affected by the imposter syndrome that he brings it up on the show as his greatest challenge. I love James's honesty. The idea of being deemed an imposter paralyzes him at times, he said. It creates an uneasiness and it prevents him from achieving clarity on his career and his direction. I wonder if James was not an entrepreneur who is perpetually faced with the challenge of defining and designing himself, if he was an employee at a fancy company who placed him in a position and labeled him, would he still experience imposter syndrome? My guess is yes, he would. My guess is he would experience it even more so. James may be struggling with his niche right now, but it's evident to me that he's found his wheelhouse. In a business setting, I would think this occurs much more frequently, where your employer puts you where they feel your strengths lie. But oftentimes, that is very much outside of your comfort zone. So James, keep plugging away, because even though you feel like an imposter now, you're going to get the experience soon that makes you feel like the expert, and it happens that fast. Okay, Kevin Crane, Wednesday's guest. One thing Kevin knows for sure, one thing he has always known, is that he is a creative. It's been my experience when interviewing creatives that, wow, their interests are many and their scope is wide. When Kevin was an imposter was when he went to great lengths to keep his musical side and his professional side separate. It's only been in the more recent years that Kevin came to an awareness that blending his two worlds gave him character and depth and an interest for others to connect to. This aspect of Kevin blending his music with his writing business reminds me of my guest Jamie J, who uses love for hockey to meld with his social marketing business. Jamie J is actually one of the podcast professors. This theme of hockey is his theme, and it's a connection that he uses to make with people that makes them want to do business with him. So while this week's guest, Kevin Crane, initially began feeling somewhat like an imposter, he since allowed himself to reveal more of himself. And as you can hear in the interview, he has never felt more secure with himself. It's come to my attention that when people are considering the incorporation of a specific passion into their lives, they may be feeling blocked by the idea they don't have a specific skill they need to do this. Now, first, I want to recognize that people use this as an excuse, and that this is a prime example of an energy block that impedes people's progress. Whether you are allowing your inner critic to sabotage you because you see the face of that critical person in your life every time you have the desire to take a first step, or whether you're making assumptions that you won't be good at it or that you'll fail because you've experienced failure in the past. whether you're making interpretations that are inaccurate or whether you're using a limiting belief such as, I'm not smart enough, people won't like me, I'm a fraud, a fake, an imposter. What you're really doing is just making excuses. And to be honest, it doesn't matter how many skills I teach you or how many episodes you listen to. If you don't recognize that you're making excuses and make the decision to move through them, you will remain a wanter and you will never become a doer. If just listening to these motivational stories on this podcast is good enough for you and you never intend to act, then live vicariously through others, like always watching love stories, but never being the one that's kissed. However, if your intention is to actually wake up every day more excited about life because you started doing something you truly enjoy, then good for you. I hope what you're listening to here is helping you on this journey. So, since I have so many great resources at my fingertips, people who are experts in certain skills, I thought I would use Thursday's episodes to teach you something that will add value to your life. So Thursday's guest, Matthew Patty, was our first Thursday's Thoughts teacher. Matt came on the show with the expectation to teach you about leadership, because I think it is such an important skill in life, in all areas of one's life. But it's my intention when people come on to teach my listeners something, for us to get to know the whole person. I want to know why what they're speaking about is a passion of theirs. I want to know, what is it? Where did it start? What were their challenges and what did they learn about themselves? Matt was very honest when he discussed his business failure. It was a 7-year business that died in only 9 months. It was my ego, he says. Wow. That was an emotional-filled experience, he shared. And you can see in his story where he felt like an imposter. He was at the helm watching his business slip away while the younger generation was looking up to him for guidance. It was feeling like a fraud, believing his ego, and failing that taught Matt the lessons he shared with you on leadership. His style of leadership, spiritual leadership, feels to me like a personal experience you carry with you, one that helps you beat back feelings of fraudulence and take in feelings of confidence. Well, I guess it's time to reveal where I have felt like an imposter in my life. I'm happy to say that this role, being with you here right now, is the most real I've ever been. However, when I graduated college and had already been hired for a teaching position, I turned to my husband and said, but I don't feel qualified. I feel like I need a master's degree to be smart enough to do this. This is when the conversation between us about feeling like a fraud in your life started. This is what made me understand why he was surprised when he was initially promoted so many years ago. This is what made me understand my best friend when she got a promotion. But since then, I've come to feel that this imposter feeling, this fake, fraudulent feeling, is exactly what pushes people to get great at what they're doing. Because the people who don't feel this don't push. I would bet, and like I said, I would never say everyone, but I would bet for a lot of us, the people who don't feel this way don't push and typically never achieve greatness. So, to James and all of my other guests, to you and anyone you can share this with, you are not alone. Those of us who stretch ourselves will feel like imposters at one point or another. Consider this your special ingredient, because you're going to take this and be great at something. You can hear it in the peaceful voices of Amy, Matt, and Kevin, and in the desire that is driving James. And I hope you can hear it in me. I would like to end today's Friday reflection with the blog entry I wrote this week about leadership. It was inspired by Matthew Patty's episode, and I think reading, studying, and analyzing yourself within this information will help you move through the imposter syndrome and into energetic leadership. So the title of the blog is Step Into Your Own Personal Power. What constitutes a leader? Nothing. Not one thing. Everyone is a leader. Every single one of us. Do you make decisions? Do you motivate, inspire, problem solve, strive in a direction to achieve a goal you have envisioned or created? Do you impact attitude and desire and outcomes? Whether you do this for one person, a small group, a gaggle, a country, or just yourself, you are a leader. The question is, what type of leader are you? And it's here, everybody, that I go into details about the 7 levels of energy and how they're seen in leadership. So, leaders who use level 1 victim energy. This leader is filled with guilt, worry, anxiety, and embarrassment. They often dwell in the past and struggle making decisions in the present. Leaders who use level 2 conflict energy. This leader uses fear and domination. Their followers will never go above and beyond, and the leadership is short-lived. They have to scare employees into completing each task. Leaders who use level 3 responsibility energy. This leader's only focus is to achieve success for their own personal gain. So they're all head, no heart. They think, I win. And they think, if you win too, great, but I'm all about me. Leaders who use level 4 concern energy. This leader is self-sacrificing. It's all about the team with no self-preservation. They think, you win, and they're happy with that. Leaders who use level 5 reconciliation energy. This leader is able to have a healthy balance of we both win. They see opportunities in challenges and failures and are team players. They lead with their head and their heart. Leaders who use level 6 synthesis energy. This leader is fearless and utilizes intuition. They see everyone as a whole. There are no separate spokes to a wheel. We all make up the wheel. They are a part of the team. Leaders who use level 7 non-judgment energy. There is no leading here. Winning and losing are illusions. We are each a teacher, a participant, and a creator. So think living on a mountain with little contact with the civilized world. Living as one with nature and art and spirituality. That's where people with 7 level energy who really embrace it often are. However, for the rest of us, level 7 energy is when you're in the zone. Level 7 energy is flow state. It's your creative process. So we don't live there. We just visit. Included at the end of this section of the blog is a link to the book Core Energy Leadership, written by Dr. Bruce Schneider. These 7 levels of energy are his interpretation. You can click on the link there if you would like to read a book that teaches you how these levels of energy are used in the workplace. However, these levels of energy can be applied to people in all walks of your life. So it's a very short, interesting read that teaches you all about these levels of energy, and the link is provided in this blog and in my show notes. To continue the blog, it says, you can equate leadership with parenting. Anyone can do it. Sometimes we fall into it, not intending it, and there is no certification deeming us qualified for it. Something I took away from my time with today's guest, Matthew Patty, is that people who are strong leaders in work are strong leaders in life. That the air is fresher at the top, the view more expansive. And once a person tastes this, they understand that they can achieve the same quality in their personal lives by constructing a personal team as qualitative as their professional one, by taking the same responsibility and accountability for their life as they do their job. Today, I ask you to step into your own personal power. Find the strength to lead. Let whatever has happened in your past go, and learn how to improve and learn how to move on with your life and its lessons. Lead, but lead with your heart, even if it is only for a party of one. Listeners, I would like to leave you there today. Remember, you motivate me, and I'm Lynette Rendette.